Great. Thank you so much. My name is Jemanah, and I'm a PhD student in the School of Environmental Science at University of Guelph in Canada. Today I will be talking on linking the community structure and activity of methanogens. So methane emission is stored liquid dairy manure with different inoculum levels. It's known that dairy farming operations are source of large amount of non-carbon dioxide greenhouse gases such as methane and nitrous oxide. And one of these sources are stored liquid manure, which has been identified as a hotspot for methane emission. So when we see a stored liquid dairy manure, because it eases the handling process, large farmers are interested in having liquid storage rather than solid, which is an ideal environment for methane production. So tanks are usually filled gradually throughout storage time, and after 6 months or a year, then the stored manure should be removed for land application. However, complete removal of that old manure is usually impossible. It's difficult. So the amount of manure left in the tank, the residual manure, has been questioned for increasing methane emission during the new storage. So as part of the best management, as part of the research on best management practices on greenhouse gas emission from storage manure storage systems, three group of researchers led by Robert Gordon and Claudia Wagner-Riedel and Andy van der Dijk were interested to see the inoculum effects of stored liquid dairy manure in methane emission. So what they did was they used 6 pilot scale storage tanks in Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia, and these tanks were covered by greenhouse plastic, where they were designed in a flow-through steady-state system. So gas samples are continuously drawn from these tanks into the trailer, where we have laser-based trace gas analyzer. So what they did was they were interested to see the effect of 20% and 15% residual slurry in increasing methane emission. So they divided into 3 groups, with tanks with 20% of their volume with old manure and 10% with old manure again. The other two were controls. And they got fresh manure to fill on top of that, but during filling, they were interested to see the filling effect as well. So they added fresh manure gradually in one of the pair, and the other was filled in batch. That means 100% volume at day one. Then these tanks were monitored for 120 days for gases emissions. So what they found was the effect of residual slurry was observed on gradually filled tanks, which are actually representing the actual condition in the farm. So when we see the black line on the first graph shows you the tank without inoculum, without residual slurry. So it had longer lag phase, and the peak flux was very short compared to the 10% and 20%. And overall, the cumulative emission from there was really low. But when we see the batch filled tanks, we couldn't see any difference on the emission. But this is unlikely, as we observe the slurry surface on day 65 on the, when we see the peak flux. So if you see that first tanks with 0% residual inoculum, there was less bubble, indicating less emission from both. And when we have 10% and 20% residual slurry, you can see the high bubble there, and so in showing more emission was occurring there. But when we compare batch and gradually filled tanks, the surface of batch and gradually filled has some difference, because in batch filling, the surface crust was not disrupted throughout the time, but frequency of filling has impacted in gradually filled tanks. That might have impacted the emission, because crusts are important to block the emission of gases and also encourage methane consumption by methanotrophs in the aerobic region. So, but basically when we see methane production is derived by microorganisms. And understanding the dynamics or the structure of these microbes and activities at different residual levels can help to improve the mitigation strategy. So the group working on mitigation strategies were
collaborating with Dr. Kerry Dunfield, who is also my supervisor, and he's with us today. So we were interested to see the structure of methanogenic microbial communities and their link to methane emission. So when we see the major microbial processes in stored manure, we see there are three different groups of bacteria that supply methanogenic substrates for methane-producing microbes: the hydrolysis, acidogenesis, and acetogenesis. So this supplies acetic acid, formate, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide. These are really important substrates for methane production. So environmental microbiologists study these microbes by targeting their marker genes. So methanogens are members of the domain archaea. So we can study the whole archaea using 16S ribosomal RNA, or we can target specifically these groups by targeting the MCRA gene, which is a gene that encodes a key enzyme important in methanogenesis. So what we found, what we did was we got manure samples on day 1, day 65 during peak flux, and day 120, and we got both DNA and RNA. We quantified these microbes using quantitative real-time PCR, and also we used next-generation sequencing to determine the identity of these microbes as well. So on day 1, when we compared the fresh manure and residual slurry, there was significant difference in terms of number and activity. We saw significantly large number of methanogen populations, as you can see from the blue bar, in the residual slurry compared to the fresh manure. And the activity, as we scale on the right side, the right y-axis, also shows you there was significantly high activity compared to the fresh manure. So it means with large number of methanogens that are really active, the presence of 10% and 20% residual slurry affected the abundance and activity of these microbes during storage. So we can see the first color is like the day 65, and the other group is day 120. So we were comparing the impacts of this residual slurry. So if we see the gradually filled tanks and batch filled tanks, when we have 10% and 20% residual slurry, the population number of methanogens were really high and it was significant. And it's the same is true for batch filled tanks. As we go from 0 to 20, the population number was really high, but we couldn't see significant effect of residual slurry on day 120. That means residual slurries might be important during the initial storage period. And we also saw consistent results on the activity of these microbes. The methanogen activity was really high with the presence of 10% and 20% residual slurry. And that was on day 65. And similarly, on day 120, we couldn't see any effect. So when we see the flux here, it was interesting to correlate the activity and abundance of these microbes with methane flux. So interestingly, we were able to see positive correlation in gradually filled tanks on day 65, because in batch filled tank had no difference in the emission. So we were also interested to see who were playing significant role in producing methane. So we sequenced all 16S ribosomal RNA of archaea, and interestingly, almost all of the sequences were methanogens. That means it indicates that stored manures are ideal environments for methanogens. And it was really no significant effect on the core methanogenic communities. If we see, almost all of the samples were dominated by two genera, the Methanocorpusculum and Methanocercina. These two have some difference in their physiology. So when we see the fresh manure and residual slurry, there was no difference at all. But through time, during the storage, we saw some increase in the Methanocercina. But still, Methanocorpusculum was consistent throughout the storage. So we were interested to see, especially in the middle, on day 65, during peak flux of methane, who were really playing that significant role in producing methane. And when we see one of the tank, the control had peak flux on day 87. So we got RNA data, or the RNA sequence from day 87 and day 65, and we tried to identify who were there. And that RNA data showed that methanosarcina was really the key player than methanocorpusculum. Remember, methanocorpusculum was dominant throughout the storage, but their activity was not like the methanosarcina. So what makes them dominant? Because if we compare the physiology of methanocorpusculum and sarcina, methanosarcina are metabolically diverse. There are three different pathways for methanogenesis. Some groups use methylated compound, some others use acetate, some others use carbon dioxide. But methanosarcina can perform in all of the three pathways. And when we see methanocorpusculum can undergo only, like they can use carbon dioxide and reduce into methane, that is hydrogenotrophic methanogenesis. So that might have gave them a competitive advantage in dominating the manures. So when I come to the conclusion from this study, studies on batch fill tanks may not represent emissions from full-scale storage tanks, because we know that emission might be impacted by the stable and thick crust compared to the gradually filled tanks. And inoculum effects of residual slurry are important during the initial phases of storage, and particularly in our case, up to 65 days. In the later stage, it may not be important for methane emission. Reduction of residual slurry could reduce or could lower methane emission because it reduces the number, not the type of methanogens, because methanocorpusculum and sarcina was almost there from the residual inoculum and even the stored manure. So only large number of these microbes were really important at the beginning of storage. So complete removal of residual slurry could be a cost-effective and environmentally benign management strategy to reduce methane emission from liquid manure, stored liquid dairy manure. So with that, I would like to thank my supervisors, advisory committee, and supporting personnel. Thank you very much. Yes.
How do you measure the concentration level of methane?
Oh, because that is a flow-through type of chamber, there is an inlet and outlet for the chamber, so air enters into the chamber and it washes out all the gases, and there is outlet, so we have a PVC tube connected to the inlet and outlet that takes the gases into the trailer. We have a trace gas analyzer machine there, and it measures the concentration of methane from this every 30 seconds for 120 days.
So what is the concentration?
That is in ppm, and then we have to convert into the gram per meter cubed.
Thank you.
Yes.
So what was the flow through? What was the volume change over time? You know, volume changes per hour or whatever of your flow through system?
I can't remember exact number, but it was adjusted just by looking the ambient condition outside. So that we have anemometer outside, so the air movement inside and outside should be the same. So the amount of air enters into the chamber is almost similar with the amount of air moves outside. So we try to optimize with the ambient condition.
Thank